Isaiah chapter number 9, one verse, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the host will perform it. Emphasizing, please, verse 6, the first few words. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Will you bow with us for prayer? Father, I want to thank you this morning. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to speak to our hearts now. God, give your anointing. I pray, God, for the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon me. God, I pray you'd rid my mind and heart of anything that ought not to be here. I bow before you and confess, Lord Jesus, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Ghost of God, nothing eternal will take place. But God, I pray that God's hearts will be blessed and encouraged. I pray for our friends in the radio and internet audience. I pray, God, that, Lord, the Spirit of God would minister to them there in their home, a car, or wherever they are. And then, God, for this great number here in the auditorium, I pray for the presence and power of God to be on us. I pray, God, that, Lord, you do eternal thing. Our Father, I plead the blood, rebuke every devil and every demon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord and King of kings. And I pray, God, now that you speak to our hearts, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I was thinking this morning about that great contrast. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was God incarnate in human flesh. One passage of scripture says that his name will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. He was a God-man. It is a great mystery we can't comprehend. That means it's a truth of God. It is not something mystic, but is a mystery. It is something that human minds really cannot fully conceive. That a child was born and a son was given. Here, as a child, he is human. As a son, he is deity. Think about that. He's human, but yet he is deity. Thank God for him. As a child, he would hunger. As divine, he would feed every living creature from creation until the end of time. As a child, he would thirst. But as a son, he was living water. As a child, he would grow. But as a son, he was always perfect. As a child, he would become weary. But as God incarnate in flesh, he's neither weary nor tired. As a child, he would learn. But as God, he is omniscient. He knows everything. As a child, he would learn to build cabinets. But as the son, he would create the tree from which the cabinet would be made. As a child, he would weep at the tomb of a friend. But as God, as the son of God, he would call him from death. As a child, he would see the stars. But as a son, he would see eternity. As a child, he would sail on a ship. But as a son, he would still the storm. As a child, as a man, he would be called the man of sorrow and of grief. But as the son of God, he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. As a man, he would sit on the throne of David, but as deity, he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. As a man, he would suffer and bleed and die. But as the son, death could not hold him. He would be resurrected. As a son, he was given. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Yesterday in the morning in the men's fellowship, Brother Timmy asked about what word would kind of encompass all of Christmas. And Mitchell spoke up immediately on what verse, and immediately Mitchell spoke up, said John 3:16, the thought of God giving his own son. That's exactly right. God gave his son. And the spirit of Christmas, what is that spirit of Christmas? It is a spirit of love. And Brother Tim talked yesterday morning about living the Christmas life all year long. as a Christian, the Christmas life all year, that spirit of love. It's also the spirit of giving. And this morning I want to emphasize that truth to you. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about God the Father in this idea of Christmas being a time of giving. People give and people like to share. And you as a church have given and shared. You brought the foodstuffs and that's been distributed. And others will be distributed and other needs met. As individuals, you meet needs. I was talking to Brother Joe Barry. He and the scouts and Cameron and all went down to the children's home, Kinston, and took a bunch of pizzas and a lot of gifts and everything. And they had a great time. They gave of their time. They gave of that food. They gave of their friendship and gifts to those to the boys and girls who are there in the kidney home. And that's a time of giving. And you give to your family. You give to friends. But the greatest example of giving in the Bible is God the Father when he gave his own son. I want you to note, first of all, the motivation for his giving. Why did God give his son? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the eternal Son of God. Why did he leave glory? Why did he step out from the presence of the Father to be clothed in the human flesh? Why did he come? Well, it's very simple. For God so loved the world. The motivation of his giving was love. And as our example, that ought to be our motivation for giving. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. It's the love of Christ. That's the motivation for anything we do. Our love for the Lord, our love for people, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the motivation. But then I want you to notice this, as he gave not only the motivation, notice the manner how he gives. If you notice this word, now, after all the years of studying the Bible, I began to see that one little phrase in John 3:16 that I had skipped over so quickly, and it has to do with this, unto us a son is given. And in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the manner of which he gave. How did he give? He gave, my dear friend, with no reservation. He gave with no reservation. Who did he give his son to die for? The whole world. You think about that. Now, I'll be honest with you. And Brother Timmy was talking about the other day, about sometime he around Christmas time, he's got anxious and not always in the Christmas spirit. I'm the same way. I've seen so much around, and I've seen so many. If you're not careful, you'll get embittered. And when you see things on television and hear things, you don't have the right reaction. I think about Brother Jim White and his brokenness for Muslims in the countries he goes to, that they need to be saved. But when I think about the Lord and this example of his giving, the measure of his giving, it is without any restraints. He gave to the whole world, red or yaller, black and white, their precious sight. Regardless of their background, regardless of their heritage, he gave his son to die for them. Just as surely as he died for me and you, he died for the whole world, every one of them. And it's hard for me to comprehend that he would love every creature on the earth as much as he loves you, as much as he loves me. But those who have done so many wicked things, yet Jesus died for them. He gave. You know what he said? He said, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. The Lord Jesus Christ loved. And when they had spit in his face, and when they pulled out his beard, and when they beat him with a cat of nine tails, and when they drove nails in his hands and his feet, he said, Father, forgive them. He demonstrated the love of the Father without any reserve. He did it freely. He did not do it selfishly. He gave his love unselfishly. He's omniscient. Did you know that? He knows the beginning from the end. And here's what blows my mind. For the fact that he gave his son to suffer and bleed and die for those who would repent, who'd hear the gospel and repent and accept Christ as their Savior and live the rest of their life loving him and serving him and praising him. What a blessing. And he saw that in time. But do you know that down in time he saw those who would reject him? He saw those who would trample underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw those who would never, ever repent, who would never, ever accept Christ. But now, dear friend, he gave unselfishly anyway. He shed his blood for those people that in his omniscience he knew would never, ever repent. They would never appreciate what he did for them. And I hear people say sometimes, well, I'll do this, but they don't appreciate it. I'm not going to do it anymore. But I'm sure glad that he didn't. I'm glad he gave unselfishly. He did not give expecting us to give him anything back. My dear friend, he is our great example of giving. But let me say a word not only about his example in giving. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about the extent of his giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But as I began to go through the scriptures and look at what he gave us, and it's simple to say he gave us everything, I understand that. But when you begin to see it in some detail, what a blessing it is. The Bible says in John chapter 10, and also in John chapter 14, but in John chapter 10, verse number 28, it says this, he gives unto us eternal life. Think about that. Eternal life. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you got saved by the grace of God, he gave you everlasting life. You say, well, Brother Billy, I've heard you say that people will live forever in hell. Exactly right. They will exist and be in hell for all eternity. But God gave us everlasting life. Eternal life, not just existence. It is a life of blessing, a life of peace. He said, I've come that you might have life, might have it more abundantly. Everybody in the sound of my voice, unless Jesus comes, will go by the way of the grave. But for those who know Christ, and you've been saved, he's given you everlasting life. And he said this, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? My dear friend, those who are saved by the grace of God, God's given you everlasting life. I don't care what happens in this world, what happens in your body. God, what a great gift he gave you, everlasting life. And in John, further in chapter 14, he said, I give you peace, not as the world gives you peace. I give you peace. Well, listen, you think about the great gifts he's given us. He gave us peace. There's a whole world of people out there now that are taking pills, that are doing everything, and there will be many today who will take their life because they have amassed wealth, or they have prestige, or they have power, but they have no peace. And God gave us peace. It's a gift of God. And if you have any peace in your heart this morning, it came from him. He said, I give you my peace, and thank God for that peace. I'm glad I've got a peace in my heart this morning. I'm glad that God fixed me to where I don't need a thing in the world, but a closer walk with the Lord. I'm glad that I have a peace of God that passeth all understanding. And my dear friend, I'm glad I have a peace that's not disturbed by things that go on around me. Down there's a deep, settled peace in my soul because I know that God's given me everlasting life, and he loves me, and he died for me. And then I went a little further, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. The Lord taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. God gives you daily bread. How many of you had any breakfast this morning? Raise your hand. How many of you are looking forward to eating lunch? Raise your hand sometime within the next hour or so. Amen. But you know what? He gave you that. Every mouth of food you had this morning, everyone you'll have at lunch and whatever eat the rest of the day, that's God's gift to you. God, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Don't forget it, everything that he gave to you. By the way, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good reason to eat a Bojangles biscuit right there, daily bread. Amen. How many of you believe a biscuit's bread? Raise your hand. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm glad for that truth. God just showed that to me. Daily bread. God, give us our daily bread. But he does that. And God, he gives us our daily bread. Thank God he knows you, knows all about you, and he takes care of you. He gives you your daily bread. Psalms 29, verse 11, he gives us our strength. The strength you had to be mobile, to walk, or do whatever you do. The strength of your body, the strength of your heart, everything comes from God. Thank God for that. Psalms 28, verse 11, he gives us our strength. In Psalms 37, verse 4, it says this, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Boy, I'm glad that not only does sometimes he give us our necessities, sometimes he gives us our desires, things that are just a blessing. God's done that for me so many times. I could have got along without it. I could have lived without it. But God's given me the desire of my heart so many times. I'm thankful for that. He gives us the desires of his heart, of our heart. Thank God he does that. In Psalm 84 and verse 11, He gives us grace, and thank God for that grace, and glory. He gives us grace and glory. Thank God for that grace. I'm glad for saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. God forgave all of my sin. He'll forgive all of your sin. Many of you have forgiven all your sin. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. God gave his son to die for us. And through grace, we have everlasting life. But not only saving grace, but sustaining grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. No matter what you meet, God gives you grace. That's a gift of God. It's intangible. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. But he just gives it to you. Thank God. His example in giving and the extent of his giving, he gives us grace. He gives us glory. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 4, he said he gives us the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, that shows us truth, that convicts us when we are wrong, that guides us and teaches us, and for the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Thank the Lord for that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul said, I've sown and others water, but God gives the increase. And thank God for the increase, whatever you've been increased, whether it's increased in your possessions or in your wealth or your wisdom or your spiritual success. God's the one who gives that increase. Thank God for that. God gives the increase. But then I want you to turn and look at two passages of scriptures. Will you turn in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. Now, you go past all the Gospels and by the book of Acts, by Paul's letters, and you'll come to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. The very last chapter in the book of 1 Timothy. All right, 1 Timothy. If you didn't turn to it, please write it down. There are two verses I want you to make note of, especially this morning in this regard. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Notice this. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. His example of giving, but the extent of his giving, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. God has given us so many things, but he gives us all things. Now, one other verse in that regard, go back to the book of Romans. Go back towards the Gospels, and you'll find the book of Romans. In chapter 8, I'll read to you verse 32. I quote this verse quite often, and I thought this morning it'd be good if you highlighted it in your Bible, or at least write it down. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, listen to what it says. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Everything you have came from him. Everything. Everything you need. All the blessings. Thank God, listen. He gave his son. He gave his son. His example of love in giving his son. And he said this, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not also freely by him give us all things? Thank God for that. But let me say this to you. Not only do I note in the Bible his example of giving and the extent of giving, but I do find this, there is an exhortation for giving. I want to rejoice in what he's done for me. But there's a truth that we need to go a further step, and that is this, that he wants us to give. And so with that in mind, I'm going to turn to the book of Luke, and if you want to turn with me there, I'm going to turn to Luke chapter number 6. And in Luke chapter number 6, there's a passage of scripture, verse number 38, one verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now that's the Lord speaking. That's written in red. That's not some television preacher. That's the Lord. And he said this, there is an exhortation for you to give. See his example, see the extent of his giving, and now the exhortation. He said this, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, I don't know a lot about Greek, but I do know that in that sense, that word give is not a suggestion. It is a stated requirement. Give. He expects me and you to be givers. If we're going to live like him, and he's a God who gave his son, who gave us grace, who gives us our daily bread, who gives us all things rich to enjoy, who gives us all everything, he expects us to be givers. He expects us to give to others. He expects us to give. He expects us to share our lives, an investment of our lives in the people, giving our lives. Paul writes of a group of people in regard to giving and meeting physical and financial needs. And he said they gave not as we expected, but they first gave their self to the Lord. He expects you to give him yourself. He said, Paul admonishes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that word gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that means to offer a sacrifice. He gave unreservedly, and he gave his son to suffer and bleed and die for us, and he expects me and you to give our life, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Just give him all we got. Just live for him. If you want to have joy, if you want to have peace, you ought to do that. You need to give your life to him. And part of our life is given to us in the book of Malachi. I want to read this passage of scripture to you. It's an admonition to Israel and also to me and you. And he said in the book of Malachi, as these the children of Israel are experiencing great difficulty. And he said this in chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your father, you've gone away from mine ordinances and you've not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, when have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive, that there's not room enough to receive. Listen, here's the exhortation to give. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. And he said, here, if you'll be obedient to God in the monetary gifts and giving that, God will bless you. I know a lot of people, and I don't mean that everybody who's going through a tough time financially, this is the case. I know a lot of people who go from one tragedy to another, one heartache to another, one financial burden to another. First thing I want to say, are you a giver? Do you give? Because the Bible principle is this: if you give, God will give to you. He said, you bring your tithes into the storehouse, you be faithful in your giving. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour it out to you. Now listen, somebody said it rightly this way. It's not how much you want to give, it's how much you want to get. He said, because it's going to be given back to you in the same measure. I've heard Brother Tom Gillum preach some great sermons and great series, but when he preached that series on living in the offering plate, that was awesome. I do remember what he said. He said when he went into the ministry, or went in the evangelism full time, he said, I had two revivals the first year. He'd been pastor of a church. His wife was a school teacher. He went full time to evangelism, and he had two revivals the first year. And he said, we continued all of our giving. Matter of fact, we increased our giving. We began to give more to people and more to missions and share and give. And he said, well, God taught him some wonderful lessons during those days. God showed him some things. And he talked about how God blessed him and how God prospered him and how God did great things, biblical truth. And he said, you know what I did? He said, I gave my way out of debt. I gave my way out of debt. He gave to the Lord, he gave to people, and he gave to the work of Christ, and God blessed him. My dear friend, there is an expectation of the Lord, an exhortation of the Lord, that you learn to give like he gave, that you did. Listen, what about that expectation? He said this, if you give, it shall be given unto you. How does it come? Comes by men, comes from the gift of God. If you give, it will be given unto you. His example in giving, as you come to this idea of giving, here's the ultimate, the pinnacle. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I went last night, late at night, and talked with a man And I shared with him the gospel. And I said to him, this is a time of giving. If you get to go home, maybe around the tree, I'm pretty sure around the tree, there'll be a package with your name on it. It's there because somebody loved you. Somebody bought it, paid for it, wrapped it up. It's there for you. Now, if you don't go home and accept it, if you don't go home and open it up, you'll never know what was in it. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, before you were ever born, gave you a great gift, purchased a great gift for you. The Bible said he came to give his life a ransom and to die to purchase your redemption. He died to save you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's just like a gift. I've had the privilege of seeing a lot of people saved, and I was thinking yesterday about years ago when I was pastoring down in Panhandle, Florida. There's a man whose children had been riding the bus and they'd gotten saved. He came just occasionally. His wife had started coming. She got saved, baptized. He's a pretty hard case. I don't know what we just prayed for him, tried to witness to him. But right around Christmas time, me and one of the guys from church went by his home and he was there. Went and talked to him, sat there. And as I talked to him and I shared that great truth with him, I looked under the tree and I saw a gift with his name on it. And I picked it up and I handed it to him. I said, this is yours. It's already yours. It's already been bought, already been paid for, got your name on it. What's in it? He said, I don't have any idea. I don't know what's in it. I said, you never will. It's already yours. It's already your possession. It's already been given. Somebody bought, paid the money for it. They've released it. When they wrote your name on it, it was no longer theirs. It was yours. It was for you to have. I said, but if you don't take that gift and open it, you'll never know what it is, never appreciate it. And that simple little truth, God spoke to that man's heart. And I said, friend, Jesus did the same thing for you. It's already there. You don't have to, he doesn't have to manufacture it when it's time for you to get saved. It's already there. It's already got your name on it. And it's yours. All you got to do is accept it. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And this great act of his giving is a reciprocal type thing. He can offer it. He can purchase it and give it. But if you don't accept it, you'll never appreciate it. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you could say, God's been good to me? And I'm just this morning saying, I know that I have accepted the greatest gift, which is his son. And I know I'm saved. Heaven's my home. Would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Would you bow your heads, please, in the building? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your great example of giving. You gave your son. One thing motivated you, and that was your love. It was not what you'd get out of us. It was not what we would do for you. Our Father, it was given without any reserve, the gift of your dear son. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God right now will do what no man could do. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. God, I pray you'd tender somebody's heart. Some boy, some girl, some man, some woman would accept the greatest gift that's ever been given, the gift of your dear son. Thank you, our Father, for the great extent of your giving, that God, you've given us all things richly to enjoy. And he that spared not his son will also freely give us all things. God, everything we have came from you. Thank you for that. God, I want to thank you for the exhortation of our giving, that we are to give. We are to be a participant in that because we love you and the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart. God, we ought to give. And our Father, there's expectation on your part that in giving your son, you expected people to respond in faith and accept him. And I pray, God, right now that some will in the radio audience, here in the church or in the internet audience, I pray they will. While we have our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, my dear friend, can I ask you a question? If you could not raise your hand, why? Why would you not want the greatest gift in all the world? What is it that would keep you from this morning becoming a child of the King, having all your sins forgiven, and having a home in heaven? What is it? What in your life is worth going to hell over and never trusting Jesus? There's got to come a time when you do that. Why not now? Why not now for you in the radio audience and you in the internet audience and you in the building? Why not now? Would you accept that gift if you will? I ask you to do this. The Bible said, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I invite you to call on him right now. I want you to call on him. Now, you say, Brother Billy, what's that mean? It means that in faith, you say, Lord, I want you to save me. I will receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. He came unto his own received him not, but to his many as received him. That's what it means. It's as simple. What a tragedy that you'd be in this building this morning. And you have been, I've tried to explain to you the greatest gift of all, and for you not to accept it. Will you do it right now? If you will you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus bore my sin in his own body on the tree, and he died for me. You gave your son to die for me. I believe he was buried, rose again. Lord Jesus, come in my heart. I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. I believe you paid my sin debt. And I accept you as Savior right now. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. I'll not be ashamed of it, Lord. I'll confess. You said, believe in my heart, confess with my mouth. I'm not ashamed. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Our invitation will be brief this morning. I want you to stand with your heads bowed and eyes are closed. As we take just a few moments. I know you're busy at work, at home, everywhere else. But I want to take every opportunity I can to bow before him and thank him once again for what he did in giving his son for me. And I'm glad that God's Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and that I was one of those who did respond, who did receive him. But it's him. It's all of him. It's by his grace. And I'm thankful this morning for his great gift. Maybe you are. Maybe you just feel a need to come get around the altar one more time, just briefly to say, Lord, thank you. In all the busyness of this season, I bow before you and acknowledge my gratitude to you. And I thank you for that. I thank you for it. Maybe this morning you've been praying about a church home. You believe God wants you here. We'd love to welcome you into the membership of this church, those who have been saved and baptized, members of other churches. Maybe you don't have a current church membership, but you've been saved, baptized. Whatever it is, if you feel like this is where God wants you, we'd love to have you. But maybe you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you just prayed that prayer. Maybe you'd just like to have somebody else pray with you further about something. I'd love to meet you here at the front. Whatever the need is, you come right now. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. And as he does, will you come and come quickly? We're not going to have a long invitation this morning. I invite you to come. Please don't leave here lost. Trust Christ as your Savior. The greatest gift of all, Christ died for you. Come right now.